Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaveyam Karavavahai Tejasri Navadhitamastama Vidvishra Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama
So Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya is divided into two parts. Anishta, unsteady, and Nishta, steady. Anishta, unsteady devotional service is further divided into six gradations. So when these six aspects of Anishta Bhakti are covered, right, then technically speaking, then that is Nishta. Right? Does that make sense? So this means Bhajana Kriya, it is itself a position where you start, but at the same time it also covers other areas, right? Because the Bhajana Kriya, when he's talking anarta nivriti, it means the Bhajana Kriya is removing the anartas and increasing your affection for Krishna. Right? So in that process, so it's not a problem that Bhajana Kriya, Anarta Nivriti, and then Nishta, that would all be considered technically Bhajana Kriya. Right? But the first two are Anishta, and the third one is Nishta. Okay? So from Nishta on, then the devotional service is steady. And before Nishta, then the Bhajana Kriya is unsteady. Right? And then before that, it's not that one's not like what we were reading yesterday about the spiritual master. It's not that one is not involved with the spiritual master and following instruction and doing practices, but the practices there aren't taken as serious as Bhajana Kriya, because Bhajana Kriya means initiation. Right? So Bhajana Kriya defines actually performing bhajan before initiation and after. Right? So in other words, one's always doing bhajan, right? Just like one always has faith, one always associates with the devotees. You understand? The reason we take up Krishna consciousness is the taste. But that taste, though it is not as much as what we define as ruchi, but compared to the material taste, it's very great. Does that make sense? You know, it's just a portion of it, but it's much greater than anything that we've tasted before. Therefore, we come to Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? We get attached, so we like doing the devotional activities, but it's not the same as strong as attachment in asakti. Does that make sense? We're very happy, you know, so we're ecstatic, but it's not as ecstatic as in bhava. Right? Does that make sense? So all the elements are always there, but when something is prominent, that's the focus of one's practice, then it's called by that name. So when the focus in your mind is developing faith, then it's called Shraddha. Right? And then you take up that association of devotees. That's new, to always be in the association of devotees. Then that's Sadhu Sangha. Then one gets initiated and then very seriously follows all the different activities. Then that's Bhajana Kriya. Yes?
So during Bhajana Kriya, you're still developing your faith?
Yes. Faith is always developing. Means each stage as it progresses, the faith progresses one stage. So prema is mature faith. Right? When it's actually mature, then it transforms into prema, right? But we can see as when it's sadhusanga, you're not thinking about faith. That's not your focus. Now and again you may, but it's not the focus. In Shraddha, the focus is on faith. I've had a whole lifestyle before, and now I'm giving that up and taking up this new lifestyle. Basically what we're adding is Krishna consciousness. So instead of it just being, you know, something nice or here and there, sometimes you see the devotees and you wave, you know, Hari Bol. You know, that's, but now you're taking it up, that this is going to be your lifestyle, your faith. You understand? Nishka, you're fixed. So you're focusing on, it's fixed, it's going, and all these different things. Okay? Does that make sense? It's important to understand this overlap, because this is the obvious overlap. Once we get going further, we're going to get into subtle overlap. Okay? Yeah, okay. So six levels. Utsamayi, sudden enthusiasm. Right? When in other words, you take up something new. Anything you do will go through these six stages. Any activity where you apply the mind. But here it's being applied to Krishna consciousness, which is the actual point of doing anything. Right? Utsamayi, sudden enthusiasm. Right? Ganatarala, sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes lethargic, right? Because when its newness wears off, then you sometimes get fired up and then sometimes not, because it's not new anymore. Right? Then vyudha vikalpa, a stage when doubts assail one's resolve. Because there's so many ways you could do it, there would be a more strict way to do it, and there's also another way you could do it. Right? I could get up early, chin all my rounds before Mangal Arti, you know, and then after Mangal Arti, you know, do some reading and, you know, this and that. Or I could get up, just go to Mangal Arti and then kind of work my rounds in around during the day. It works. You know what I'm saying? So the doubts come up on how serious you should be. You know what I'm saying? Because there is a more strict and a more, it's, you know, it's accommodating. You know, when we're talking before about devotees rationalizing a lesser position, it's okay Krishna conscious, but for their position it's lesser than it could be. That's this element. But instead of just being assailed, you've actually become adjusted and comfortable with it where you're willing to protect it. You know, so that's a serious, you know, distraction, right? Yes.
Does it also cover, should I play the mridanga or should I become a pujari?
Yeah, that also, because if I play the mridanga, then, you know, I can get into the bhajan and everything like that. But then if I do the pujari, then, you know, that has all these benefits. I'm associated with the deity. It means generally, but here it's more, it's not as much that. I would say that would be probably the next stage, or the fifth stage. This, I can be there, but mostly it's a matter of what's more strict and what's less strict. Because both are bona fide. But one will be very dynamic and one is accommodating. You know what I'm saying? Like, the person is attached to their sport. Right? And so, it's not actually that important. But they can see Krishna in this sport. They're trying to make the goal, and, you know, and so that taste that they get, it's Krishna's the ultimate goal. So actually, it's Krishna that they're tasting. It's not actually the game, but they're still playing the game because they're attached to the game. You know what I'm saying? So using that, so that's okay, but then to think that that's fine, and we can just situate ourselves there, that's not good. No, it's a stage. So here it's like, well, we could do that, or we could, you know, give up the sport and all those hours, because, you know, so many hours on the weekend and then every night, you know, practicing and doing all that. We could spend that, you know, studying, associating with the devotees or preaching or running home programs or like that, which would, you know, they're very good. But at the same time as the others, you're supposed to, you don't have to change your nature. You just, you know, engage it in the, you understand? It'll come up more. Then, Vishaya Sagara, a stage of internal tug of war with material sense enjoyment. It's also known as war with Maya. Right? Now you've determined that I want to do this, but there's a thing is you want to do, but then Maya is offering, you know, and you want, so it's the fight with Maya. Because the other one, Maya doesn't have to fight. You know, it's like you're already your own enemy. Yeah, I could be strict, but at the same time, I could kind of, you know, take it a little easy and not be too fanatic. But you know, like this, you know. So she doesn't. She just has to sit and watch, right? Have fun. But this one is then you've decided I'm going to do this, right? I'm going to be fixed. I'm going to be strict, right? So then there's the thing is because it's strict, but then there's the attachment for it. Does that make sense? So then it comes a distraction. Then, niyamak shama. Although one's practices regularly, full justice is still not done to the process. Now, maya is not the problem, but your being really dynamic in the process isn't so good. You understand? So before it was the difference between material and spiritual. You know, lower and higher was in spiritual, just taking that higher. And now it's a matter of you could be more dynamic or you could not be spaced out. You know, so, you know, I'm going to get up at, you know, 2 in the morning, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then you forget to put your alarm on. Or you put it on and then you turn it off out of habit. Right? And then you wait, oh, that was, you know, does that make sense? You know, or let's take another one that would probably be more universal, right? Everybody is fixed. In, you know, there's no maya about prasad. Everyone's determined about that. But then sometimes you decide not to kill yourself on the Sunday feast. So, you know, you're going in the great determination, I'm going to control myself, I'm going to eat one samosa and this much halva and this and that. But by the end of the feast, you know, you've polished off half of what's there anyway. So then Monday morning, then it's kind of like, oh, okay, next week I'll eat. You understand the difference? It's similar to these others, but now it's on the spiritual platform. You know what I'm saying? You're dealing with spiritual. It's not a matter of maya. It's a matter of you're absorbed. But the skill or the determination to perform it really strongly is not there. Right? And then the last one, taranga rangini, attachment to wealth, adoration, distinction, and so on. So this means is that from performing the process, then all these benefits come. Right, so this is not coming from material endeavor, so it's not attached to that. This is from spiritual endeavor it's coming. Devotees appreciate you. You lead a good kirtan. They have, wow, great kirtan and all this and that. And so then, because that regularly goes on, so it's actually a spiritual, things are coming from spiritual endeavor. But then one gets distracted by that process. You know, I mean, by those benefits. You understand? Though they're being awarded by Krishna. Does this make sense? So we can tell the difference between this and the, you know, these first three. Right? Does that make sense? We understand the difference? Right? Because one is attachment to the facilities that come from the spiritual process. The other is just attached to those things. You don't care how you get them. So basically it'll be material. Right? Okay? Utsamayi. Let us first discuss the beginning stage of Bhajana Kriya, the stage of Utsamayi. When a young student begins higher education, he is very proud, thinking himself to be a praiseworthy scholar. Such thoughts encourage the student to apply himself and to perform well. Similarly, when a novice commences spiritual life, he takes to it so enthusiastically, thinking himself to be somebody special. Right? So, because we think we're special in a material world, his being special for doing devotional service is an impetus to do. So, we're not, as long as that special feeling is not getting in the way of the service, it's not bothered. Does that make sense? Because you can't say, oh, don't be proud, and then they lose all the things and then they won't do anything. Right? Does that make sense? Because they're enthusiastic. Yeah, we're devotees. We're special. All this karmic nonsense. They don't know what they're doing. You know, and all that stuff like that. We've heard this talk, right? Okay. So that's the effect of the utsamayi, right? So then that enthusiasm is there, that specialness. But that's what drives you to do it. Like the religious person is religious, or the moralist is moral because he feels himself different than the common person. Does that make sense? So, it's not a problem if it's inspiring proper action. Right? Now, if because of this pride they're not dealing with someone else properly, then you only apply the pride there. Then you say, no, we have to work with everybody. We're all doing service. So you're doing nice. You don't say, don't be proud. And, you know, this. It's a matter of you're doing nice service, but he's doing nice service. We have to appreciate, but everyone's different. They'll do differently. So it's that, you understand? Because it's that, because don't worry. It's going to go down anyway. So don't think, oh, no, it's going to be like this forever. That's the normal thing. That's how the mind works. Right? Because it thinks the material world's eternal, my happiness is eternal, but it also thinks anything's bad is eternal. So they're like that, and oh my God, you know, like that. But it's not long before then they go to the second stage. You understand? Yes.
So Prabhupada was also encouraging devotees to be proud of being devotee.
Yeah, because it's not a problem. It is spiritual. So it's not a problem that one's proud of that, but one shouldn't be proud in that one feels oneself superior to others. You know? Does that make sense? You know, in other words, the pride can be because it's a good thing, and you're happy to be part of it, sharing in that, you know? Does that make sense? You know, the group does something really good, and so you're proud to be part of that group. You know, it's like that. So this inspires, so it's not a problem. You know, because the point is, it's a beginning stage. It'll get purified anyway, so one doesn't worry about it, right? You know, so here, higher education here also means, because he says young student, higher education, then it can either mean when someone gets into the philosophy and all those elements, then they can become proud. But it also can mean that they've been just learning letters and stuff like this, anything that's not serious, like that. In other words, in the Vedic concept, learning letters and learning numbers is not serious. That's not higher. When you start learning the Veda and the Shastras, that's serious. Right? Because before Gurukul, you could already start learning at home. But you won't learn the Veda. That's only after Upanayanam, going to the school, then you learn the Veda. But at home, you could already be being taught, you know, letters, numbers, you know, basic little things like that. Learn some vocabulary, memorize a few, you know, some verses or stuff. Like I was told by one South Indian Brahmin, you know, when he saw what we were doing in the school, and we were doing something, I think, with Amar Kosh, and he said, yes, we memorized this before we went to Gurukul. Like that. The full Amar Kosh is like 1,500 verses. Like that, but he may have mentioned the Amar Sar, which is 700 verses. So it's as big as the Bhagavad Gita. Like that. But the full thing has 10,000 words in it. So that means when the kid joins Gurukul, he already has a 10,000 word vocabulary. Right? What's the standard vocabulary in English? I've heard it's around 2,000, 2,500 that you regularly use. Right? Like that. So I think Chinese is like, if you're educating, you know, 10,000 runes and what they mean. Like that. So they're joining with a good, solid, like that. So that means that they join at five, so that means before that they memorized it. So like three or four, they're already doing these things. So we would consider that far out. But in the Vedic, that's basic stuff. Now when you join, you learn Veda. And learn what the Shastra is, that's called higher education. So when that begins, then, you know, he's gone home, he's gone his first lesson, he comes back, he's a big scholar, you know, because he knows a few words, you know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? So like that, that'll go for some time until, you know, he knows more and then he starts to see how much is there. That's one thing that I've noticed, like in India, about those who are very, very expert in the field, like let's say your top musicians, you know, your Ravi Shankar and beyond kind of level. When you talk to them about what they know in music, they'll say, I don't know music. I'm standing on the shore of music, in this big ocean. So I'm just a drop pulled up because they know so much they can understand how much is left. But Utsamayi is that you don't understand how much is actually there, so that you've gotten a little bit. You know, that's it. Does that make sense? Yes.
Another there is a translation of Utsahamayi that Mayi means full, and Utsaha that one becomes simply full of enthusiasm because of not knowing the field.
Yeah, like it's all the same aspects. All these are different aspects. It's because you don't know the full field, so you've only learned part of it. But that you're so excited from having learned that, that you're inspired to learn more. But if that wasn't there, if you actually understood how much was there to learn, like the kid's just learning a few letters, you know, in Sanskrit or like that, or does his first, you know, grammar lesson like that. And then he's very enthusiastic. But if you kind of point out as, you know, don't be so fired up, you got 12 more years to go, then, you know, like that. But he's very fired up. So by the time he loses that early enthusiasm, then he'll have become already situated to some degree. You know what I'm saying? So then it's just a matter of encouraging. Here is self-encouraging. You don't have to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? So even though it may not be correct, it may be sometimes annoying, but at the same time, it's something to encourage, you know, and reciprocate. And don't worry that it'll be there too long, because it goes away anyway. It's two, gana tarala, sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes lethargic. The example of the same young scholar explains the stage of gana tarala. At times, the student concentrates deeply on his studies, but sometimes, because of his inability to understand something, he becomes apathetic. In devotional activities, the neophyte goes through similar spells of opposing attitudes, sometimes enthusiasm, other times lethargic. Right? So it's a very standard, right? Gana tarala means thick, thin. You know, like that. Makes sense. Yes?
Just on the Utsaha Mai, is that the stage where we see sometimes new devotees are coming and they're doing rapid progress?
Yeah, because they're just very enthusiastic. But also, everything's in place. The faith is there, this, that, there's no doubts, like that, you know? So that's the natural state. But then that's why Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das to not get involved in Brahmi Katha. Like, as we'll see, I think it comes up, I'm not sure if the Bhakti Loka element's here. But, that's in the Upadeshamrita. It'll come up. That talking about devotees, you know, faults they have, what they've done wrong, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even though it's about devotees, it's still prajalpa. So therefore, the new man doesn't hear any of this. But after he's around a while, he starts telling the prajalpa about this senior devotee, and that one did this, and that one did that. Then he starts to lose enthusiasm. So that's why Lord Chaitanya says, don't listen to it, because it's non-devotional. Maybe popular, but it's not devotional. Right? Because that's the whole thing, is that if no one criticizes devotees, what's to become not enthusiastic about it? You know what I'm saying? Then it's just your own personal things with your attachments, but everybody else is working in their moving forward dynamic. So it works really nice.
I was just wondering, because there's this notion that when we join, then we're getting
that is there. It's but why is it special mercy?
Because
we're not making any offenses. You know? And anything we are doing, it's very innocent. You know, because you know, any devotee is special, is senior. I remember when we joined, the second initiated devotee is like, you know, wow. You know, they were like that. So that was, I would say we gave second initiated devotees the respect that we would probably give to, like, let's say, senior Prabhupada disciples who have come to, you know, discuss Prabhupada Lila in the assembly, that kind of level. The temple president we would treat like sannyasis on a good day when we're actually trying to take care. Sannyasis we would treat like gurus probably going back some years. And and how we dealt with Prabhupada, you don't even see it nowadays. It's just non-existent that, you know, now it's a matter of you do something for a guru, it's all, you know, is he going to notice everybody else has got it? You couldn't do that before. You know, it's just, it didn't happen. Vyudhakalpa. A stage when doubts assail one's resolve. Vyudhakalpa is an interesting stage on the path of spiritual life. Sometimes the devotee thinks, I shall convince my wife and family to become Vaishnavas and serve the Supreme Lord. I shall convert my house into a temple and remain there happily practicing devotional service. At other times he thinks, I shall leave my family, home, and the rest of my worries behind and go to Vrindavan. I shall reside there, for it is the holiest of places. And I shall cultivate devotional surrender through the 9 practices of devotion. Or he will say, ultimately I have to give up my home and all other attachments. Then should I not first plunge into the pool of sensual pleasures until I am satisfied? You understand? So he's taking all these devotional elements, but getting confused about it, being more fixed in it and like that. Or he may think, the scriptures speak of family and wife being like a dark well, and dark and dismal well. Should I not leave home this very moment? Sometimes the scriptures encourage me to perceive that this material life, family, connections, wife, children are abominable and to renounce them. Yet how can I do that? My parents are old and infirm. Who will take care of them? Besides, if I should leave home prematurely with my material desires to enjoy still unfulfilled, my mind will continue to dwell on sense pleasures until my final days. This would be a disaster. Therefore, I can understand from my own thoughts that I am too weak to follow the Lord's instructions and renounce family life. For now, I shall live simply. When the proper time comes, I shall hasten to Vrindavan and spend my days and nights in a deep meditation on the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. When Bhajana Kriya goes through this state of doubt and vacillating resolve, it is known as Vyuda Vikalpa. Right? Because that's the next, because here is that enthusiasm there because of the freshness. Then it's not as fresh, so sometimes you're fired up because you know it's right, and then sometimes not. Or when it's going good, it's going great, and when you run into an obstacle, then it slows down. This one is then, now you're coming to actual reality grips of what you're dealing with. You know, your own attachments and, you know, the actual ideals of Krishna consciousness, the actual difference between matter and spirit and all these things. So then it becomes a whole difficulty on, you know, this or that. Then you get the whole thing is, you know, you're a temple devotee or you're out, you know, out in the community and out of it. So these kind of things, right? Does this make sense? Yes.
We spoke yesterday on how there are some areas where we have some skills and some areas that are a bit clouded or mm-hmm. foggy. Does this also play a role in this stage?
Not necessarily, because that's skills. This is a matter of situating oneself. What is one's devotional situation? A more strict one or one that's more accommodating, right? So the point is one has to find a balance, but here he's not able to find the balance. So he's trying to do more, and then that's too much, and then he'll move back, and that's too far back, and then he'll come back, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, they get up, do all the rounds in the morning, this and that, and then they're too tired, and then at night, and then they can't do their work properly, so they say, well, I can't do this. Then they just concentrate on spending the time with the family, the work, and this and that. The rounds get very sporadic, hard to fit in. Sometimes they don't fit it in, but, you know, they're just being practical. And then they get tired of that, and then they try to, you understand, it just keeps going back and forth. Does that make sense? So that is why we were discussing this element of having that Brahman and Paramatma understanding when one's dealing with all the material desires. Because it's something that's in between where you can connect Krishna consciousness directly to these things that are distracting. Does that make sense? So it can create a middle ground. It can make this stage a little easier. Right? But people will mistake it that, you know, I'm either talking too much material or too much spiritual. No, the point is that's already their problem. You know what I'm saying? And the funny part is they don't even know it's a problem. So, okay, does this make sense? Yes.
To develop the understanding of Paramatma, can help us to stabilize, to make the mind more...
More peaceful, more steady. Because basically what it does, those two levels of dealing, understanding Krishna, means you're dealing with the aspect that you have material attachment or desire. And so the material endeavor will be there. You know, whether it's sakam or nishkam, but still that area of dealing is still there. Then you're going to have then that's mainly for when it's got fire. Oh, there was fire, sorry. I thought it was, you were looking at too much smoke. It was the fire came up there. So, so then that aspect is there to frees one from the attachment and the desire by connecting you to Krishna, right? The problem is one's attached to something that's not connected to Krishna. So when we act on that platform, then we're directing that attachment to Krishna, though it's intellectual, right? And so by doing that, you purify that which is distracting you. Does that make sense? So then it comes to the point is then the detachment knowledge becomes stronger, right? Because and one is able to look at it more clearly. Then one can deal with it here is understand how to balance it, right? Otherwise, you're not dealing necessarily with knowledge on why it should be. Because going to Vrindavan, I mean, that there, but you, being in your house, you can be in Vrindavan. Or is that because he's pointed out, well, if I go, but if I have these desires, but the point is deal with the desires. Engage the desires. It means if intellectually you understand they're useless and you make that endeavor in that way and they go away, that means they're not deeply rooted. So why spend time with them? But if seeing that they're more deeply rooted, then you engage them according to that process. Right? Things that are obvious there. The family sits down and does kirtan, reads, you know, from Bhagavatam, takes prasad. That's obvious. It's direct. You know? But, you know, why in your room then you do the furniture like this, and in the kids' room it's like this, and the living room's like that? What's the basis? Are we going by, okay, it's directions of the house, so Shastra says use these things. But still, it's that you're worried about it, so you're doing it, rather than how to make it nice, okay, so it can look nice, smell nice, taste, these are the things that you can deal with. So therefore, how to make it look nice? Well, looking, you have colors, you have this and that, so how to, it's not generally coming in from there. It's coming in from our own need for a nice looking environment. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, then will be how to connect that. Some way to make some connection. That makes sense. Then it purifies it. And so that doesn't mean one doesn't stop working in it, but it brings it from Sakam to Nishkam. And at Nishkam, then it becomes, you know, it's more dynamic. Then one can engage that in Krishna's service, but it's not for your purpose. Then you'll start seeing other elements that would make it nice and this and that. Does this make any sense or no sense? Right? So it's a very good tool to work with. That's why we see is that it's the opening of the discussion on Bhagavatam. Right? When Sukadev starts, he starts with this. Understanding how the Lord's entered into everything. Why? Because right after that, then he's going to discuss, you know, household life. You know, Kardama Muni, how he's going to get married, go through his life, how he's going to do. So how all these things can be connected. Right? Does that make sense? So, yeah. Yes.
Dealing with desires deeply rooted also includes endeavor to purify them, otherwise they will not just...
Yes, yeah. I mean, you can just work on the thing that I will chant and focus on that and I won't worry about anything else. And if you can do that, of course, that's the most powerful. But we're, and like we said, we were discussing yesterday, it's not a matter of this or that. That's generally the Western concept. Well, we're either really strict or we're doing all these, you know, indirect. The point is the focus should be on the direct, but if you can sense you're going to be doing things where you're not necessarily dealing direct, why not add the direct to indirect to that also? It just adds more. So that's why the holy name can take care of everything, fine, but if you add the Pancharatrika initiation, then that will also speed things up even more. You know what I'm saying? Because it'll create more focus, more like that. Because if you get better at this, you'll be able to see. If you can connect the attachments in your daily ordinary dealings, then that same analytical ability, you'll be able to look at when I'm chanting the distractions of the mind and what's happening there. You understand? So that each nourish each other. So it's okay. Yes.
What is the main difference of this stage with the previous one?
Previous one, you're just enthusiastic or you're not.
So you like.
So here you're here you're enthusiastic, but you don't know whether you should be enthusiastic for a more strict kind of devotional endeavor or a more accommodating where you're engaging the variety of material desires in the Lord's service.
So it's like you don't know how to apply this in your situation.
Yeah, I mean, you could take, if you want to take the enthusiasm to be the prominent thing, you could. But here it's a matter of you're not sure. It's doubts. He uses doubts. You're doubtful on which should be worked with. You know, but it's a doubt. It's lighter. But the thing is you're dealing with attachments. So your attachments are there and obvious because he's giving an example. He's in household life. So now he could just take the house and make everything about it Krishna conscious. Or he could go even further and just go to Vrindavan and just concentrate on the Lord. But if those material desires are rooted there, then he'll go to Vrindavan, he'll still be thinking about the house. So then why go? You know? And then, you know, so therefore he's looking at that. And then if it's a matter of not going, therefore I should really focus on engaging my senses so that they're satisfied, so that when I do in the future go to Vrindavan, they won't be any distraction. So he's taken himself from one solid, you know, nice solid level to another solid level to something below the first solid level. Because he's not, you know, saying, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So, but it's not a matter of he understands this is what has to be done. Right? That's the next stage. He knows this is what. So if he decides, okay, so many material desires there, I have to engage them. So with determination, he's going to see that they're engaged. But he's made a decision. There's no doubt. This is my position. I would like to function at this, but I'm not. So this is what I have to do to engage it. Rather than, no, it's okay. Don't be so fanatic. That's you don't know. You've made a determination. So even though it's engaging the senses, it doesn't matter. Because you're determined to use that properly in Lord's service. Is that okay?
So on Ganatarala, the attachments are not so prominent in his mind. Yeah.
Ganatarala, you're still running on that initial enthusiasm. That's why he continues with the same analogy of the young student. The beginning, it's, I mean, A, B, C, all these things are easy. So there's very little obstacle and you feel very great. But then once you put it together and have to learn words or do mathematical calculations and stuff, then you run into some difficulties. So at that point, when it's difficult, you're not as enthusiastic. Because when you took up the process, Krishna conscious, it was just all new and fresh and nice. You know? He didn't have a responsibility. Someone says, yeah, do this or do that. And so, you know, you're running around and you're really happy about it. But then, as it goes, you may have some responsibility, and then there runs a problem. You're supposed to wash the dishes, but you ran out of, soap, you know, but you had told the guy you need soap, and then he didn't get it, and then now then you're not as enthusiastic. Does that make sense? Yes.
From the stage of the Vidyavikalpa onwards, is the apathy basically gone?
I would say basically, but then your apathy means you'll have that element of then you're going back and forth here is instead of being enthusiastic or not, it means within the devotional process a more enthusiastic or a more, you know, more
laid back,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? So there's a natural progression, but it takes on a slightly different flavor in that it's not just you're driven by the newness of it. Here is you're committed to it, but you know it's that and there. So that's why it's called anishta at all these states, because it's the one is very enthusiastic, but he's not actually fixed, because you know what is he doing? You know, what's it getting done? So it's not like he's just enthusiastic. That's what's going on. But fixed means it's determination. You know you're doing, this is what you want to be doing. You understand? It's a difference. Because that, you have the need, you see the field, you have the need, you make the endeavor. This one, you just become inspired by it, and then it looks great, so you're acting. So it's more based on prajumna, or attraction. The other ones are more based on aniruddha. You know, and then as the knowledge comes in, then that's where you start to. Does that make sense? You're not so aware of the sambandha jnana, you just are enthusiastic. Is that okay? Yes.
To me, it resembles like resolving ashram situation. This would have you called.
Yeah, but I'm saying anything. You know, should I eat that in the next chapati or not? It's the same thing. You're dealing with doubts. The example is given at Grihastha Ashram because there you're dealing with the greatest extreme. You know, for the brahmachari, you know, should I, you know, remain, you know, attached to my spot where I always sleep every night and defend it, you know, very rigorously against all the other brahmacharis because they also want it? Or should I be detached and just leave it and all that and just sleep anywhere, wherever Krishna allows? But then if I don't get good sleep, I won't be able to, you know, get my rounds done and all that nicely. And so therefore it's actually necessary for, so therefore I'll maintain, you know, it's the same thing. It just means it's not clear. That's why I was saying anything new goes through these stages. Though one's devotional practice may be stable, but you take up something new, then it's always, you know, let's say, so opening comes up, you can be a temple president somewhere. So you go in, great enthusiasm, yeah, temple president, you know, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do all these different things, and then you start running into obstacles because the this and that happens to be personalities, and they've been there a lot longer than you, and they're really, really absorbed in their own particular uniqueness. And so then, you know, sometimes you're fired up and sometimes you're not and all that. And then it's a matter, well, so, you know, should I push everyone and try to come to the ideal? So I just kind of like let it go and just kind of like try to do this and that. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. It'll all, everything will go through these six stages. But this is, in its highest application, is being applied to the devotional process. But the same feature will be there in any activity. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So, I could think that at least this stage, we have a sambandha very well established, so I know what I have to do.
Yeah, you know what you have to do, you know what you, who you are, you know what works, you know that this, you know, this practice works, and so you can do this, and it, you know, so where you do have elements where it, you could push, you could not, or you could push. You'll generally tend to push because you know you can do it. Though the mind may kind of, you know, like this, but generally it's, you always are able to do it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Then four, Vishaya Sagara, a stage of internal tug of war with material sense enjoyment. Vishaya Sagara is the stage when conflicting doubts and arguments are resolved in the devotee's heart, and he is convinced about the path of renunciation. Scripture states that just as an object lost in the West cannot be found in the East, similarly a person engrossed in materialistic activities will never become attached to Krishna. The devotee feels that his desires for sensual enjoyment are forcing him towards fulfilling them, and so his attraction for chanting and devotional service becomes weak. Therefore, he thinks he should immediately discard those desires and wholeheartedly chant the holy name. Although, even in the process, he may sometimes fall victim to sense gratification. Right? It doesn't mean he's having problem with it. It means this stage is not that he doesn't know. This stage is he's taken his stand and he's making the endeavor, though sometimes he fails. But the point is on the focus on your determination. Does that make sense? You know, between matter and spirit. Right? Yes.
So this basically goes on all the way through Bhava also? just in smaller and smaller amounts?
Yes, that's why it's not prominent. Something else is prominent. Just like the enthusiasm always has to be there, otherwise why you would do it. But Utsamayi is, that's all there is enthusiasm. You know, it's like you're enthusiastic about your work, but, you know, you're doing whatever you happen to do in, you know, in your normal day-to-day activities and thinking about your work and what to do, how to make it better. Right, but Utsamayi is you come home and everybody you meet you got to tell about, and when you get home you call up your friends, you got to tell your wife this and that, and even when the kids come home, you know, they're about to tell you about their day and you start telling about your, you know, this is, you understand? Yeah, that's why there's a difference. We'll get into it when we get to the sixth point. That's where we'll get to that. Therefore, he thinks he should immediately discard those desires and wholeheartedly chant the holy name. Before it wasn't, he wasn't sure whether to discard them or not. Now he knows he'll discard them, right? But he's confident that it's something he can discard. Before, he doesn't even know. It's new, the field. So I do this and that. But with time, you work out is, well, actually, I can situate myself here. So that means anything below that, I can discard. But it's not that it's not going to be trouble. Right? It means if you're keeping yourself in Maya, then she sits back. She doesn't need to do anything. But as soon as you decide, I'm giving this up, then she'll come up and say, you know, wait a minute. You know that yesterday this was very important to you, and so are you sure you want to give this up? You know, there's all these benefits are there. You thought that if you had this, then all these things would happen. So you're sure? You know, so she's looking after your best welfare that you don't throw out something that you would later feel bad about, right? So she comes and presents like this. Does that make sense? But before that, she doesn't have to present because you're already your worst enemy, right? Right? She didn't do anything and you came here, right? She just looked good and we came here, right? But now that we're here, we keep ourselves busy, you know, so it's not much, you know, it's like you have a dog, you take a ball and you throw it, you know, then you don't have to sit there and watch and you have to get the ball and that, you know, you just have to wait till they come back with the ball. Then you take the ball again and throw it again, you know, like that. You know, they keep themselves busy. It's easy. Although he may fall prey to sense enjoyment, he rebukes himself and feels remorseful, always continuing his devotional practices, right? So this is what we're talking about. No? Does that make sense? So this is someone who is, you know, getting very fixed here. So even this person is well situated, because he says he's situated properly, because he's determined what is Krishna. He can tell what's Krishna conscious and what's not, and what's best for him and what's not, though he may not be able to perform it well nicely, but he's fixing it. So that person is saintly, right? Before that, you don't see so much the saintly qualities, but at this point you do, right? And then there'll be a higher one at number six when we're talking about more advanced. But from this stage, then we would count them as serious, right?
It's like it has similarity with nishtha. It's like in determination.
Yeah, because I mean, determination's coming up, but nishtha it's not full enough. So nishtha's further. You'll see each one is more and more determined. That's what you're saying is the nishtha is an element that's always there, because you had to be firm to decide to develop that faith, because other members of the family or friends think you're crazy. So there has to be some determination. You understand? It's just what's prominent. So therefore, if you analyze, you'll be able to see all the nine at any stage. It's just how much of them. So the earlier ones are getting more, and the other ones are just, you know. But does that make sense? But everything is developing. Means when you take up faith, what's the base? What's one of the elements philosophically? What's a basis for having faith in this philosophy? No. What's the point of philosophy?
Conviction.
These are qualities. What is a philosophical point that would say that differentiate between spiritual life and material life? That's some detail? Standard. Sambandha, what's it? What's essential sambandha detail? I'm spirit soul, right? Now, so what does that mean? If I'm spirit soul, I am? Now that you know that you're spirit soul, what's the next stage? I'm eternal servant of Krishna. That's the first stage of bhava. Smarana dhasa means you hear about your swarup in the spiritual world. Right? But the essential point of swarup is I'm servant of Krishna. So the first point, the first stage of bhava sadhana is what convinces you at the stage of shraddha. But it's only that much. You know, I'm the spirit soul, I'm eternal servant of Krishna. You know, that I am in this particular realm, in this particular rasa, with these particular, you know, features. Those are all details. Right? Important details later, but at that time they're not important details. So what's important is I'm servant of Krishna. That's what is always going to be there. Right? We saw before, is that trying to please Krishna and do things for him, that's just Rupa Lakshana. That could be applied anywhere. In the material, to the neophyte, the medium, to the uttam, to Vaikuntha, to Goloka, to Braj, right? The Sarup Lakshana is applied everywhere. So that, you've already applied, but that's actually from Bhava. You understand? So it just starts there, then it grows and grows and grows. So when it gets to that point, then the point between Asakti and Bhava, you have that complete conviction that there is no material connection. Right? So you're liberated. So now, then, instead of identifying with the material form to serve Krishna, now you can identify with the spiritual form to Krishna. Right? It means, how do you have a spiritual hand if you already have a material one? You know what I'm saying? You understand? It's just a logical thing. So, if the mind is absorbed in material thoughts, how is it going to be absorbed in spiritual? If the intelligence is absorbed in material, how will it be absorbed in spiritual? The body is engaged in material, how you'll engage it in spiritual? You understand? So that's the thus the devotee wages a war against his desire for sense gratification. Sometimes the victor, sometimes the defeated, right? So now that he's defeated doesn't mean he's not a devotee, never was a devotee and all that. These aren't real arguments. The point is there determination or not? Is he overwhelmed by it and that's fine? Or is it not fine? Right? And remorse here does not mean he rebukes and feels remorse. This is not the Western concept of remorse. Oh, I'm so useless, I'm so disgusting, I'm so this, I'm so that. No, you're not any of that. Those are just how you become covered by the illusory energy. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. You got tricked again. So you feel bad that I got tricked again. Not I'm so useless, I'm so disgusting. That's generally when you have a group and someone's done something wrong, they want you to stay like that. That's what the Chinese do. You know, you get up in front of everybody and then say how disgusting you are, and if you cry and like that, that would be even better. And probably if you pulled out a gun and shot yourself at the time, that would be perfection. That's full remorse. Right? But that is totally mundane. Because I am this, I am, are we that? Are you disgusting? Are you the worst? Are you this? You know, but no, but the Acharya says, I am the most fallen, but they're talking about the conscious. They're not talking about what's being done. Generally, we're talking about, because of the bodily consciousness, we're talking about ethics. Right? Because if someone says something, you know, but, you know, Prabhupada says in the books, and, you know, but that's not good for, you know, preaching nowadays and this and that. If someone said that before, you wouldn't want to know what would happen to them. There's a bunch of brahmacharis there, and one brahmachari started saying that, you know, if the guy got out alive, he'd be doing good. You know, literally. But nowadays, you can talk like that, open forum, everyone's sitting around going, yeah, okay, like this. So, you know, they're actually in a destructive state, but it's not even realized. You know what I'm saying? So we're not talking about this. That's the mode of ignorance. We're talking about consciousness. So I wanted to do this. Maya tricked me again. Why? Because of practice. I practiced Maya for so long. Now it's going to take a time before my practice of not. You know? So it's just a determination. Therefore, he rebukes himself that he was so stupid, didn't use his intelligence. It was obvious it was coming. He saw the symptoms, but that, you know, just emotionally went by them. And so next time he's going to be a little bit more wary. Until eventually it's like, no. Does that make sense? That's the point. So when we're saying there's, I'm the most followed, they're talking about the situation. I'm here, the conscious is not connected. He's not talking about morality. He's not talking about dharma or religion. He's just talking practically, this is where I'm situated. So this is where I am, this is where I'm trying to get. The other one, I'm so fallen. So where is, define that fallen. You're not going to get one. You've ruined their emotional mood. Right? The other one is, I'm so fallen. Why are you fallen? Because I'm not thinking about Krishna when I'm doing this. I'm thinking about that. They can define the philosophy. It's different. Does this make sense? Yes. That's all. It's just you're feeling bad that you were so stupid that you do this because you have another mundane concept of yourself. I'm so great that how could I do that? Or by doing that, now everyone's going to think bad about me and I don't want that, so therefore. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it looks similar, but it's different. That's what Prabhupada says, is the spiritual emotions, they're like gold, the material ones, though they're the same. They're both metal. It's iron. You know, so Krishna and the Rasa dance, there's no lust there. No one is trying to fulfill their own need. They're simply trying to please the other. Well, in the material world, it's called lust because the same activities, someone's trying to please themselves. You know, they may be cooperating, but still, that's just cooperative, you know, self-centeredness. Right? Because if we're all self-centered, that's a problem. But if we cooperate in our self-centeredness, then it works out. As long as it's very clear what you want and what I want, and what's the process that we're both going to get what we want, then it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's, it's different. So these points, the remorse that he's talking about, the rebukes, these are different. They're not the mundane. It looks similar. Right? Mistakes been made, these are there. But it's not based on the mode of ignorance. It's based on sambandha jnan. They're both in the position that, okay, I'm now in this position. But one's looking at it from the transcendental, one's looking at it from the material. Morality is wrong, ethics is wrong, dharma is wrong. You know, it means if you do something against it. So therefore, that's why I'm bad. You know what I'm saying? The guy just ran off with the other guy's wife. Okay, and now all the, you know, community members are coming together and they're discussing about, how can he do this? This nonsense. You know, he seemed to be so advanced. He's been around here for so long and all this and that. No, but that was just a show and all this and that. But what are they actually discussing? Emotions. Yes, but
the situation.
And what is this? And specifically in the situation, what?
Social relationships
based on. Morality based on
conception.
You sure? No, based on their own conditioning. Because let's say the guy ran off with the other guy's wife. Okay? Now you probably get quite a wide range of people would agree. But if you really want to get down to serious discussion, would, let's say, the Westerner, or let's say, would the Americans be able to discuss and be satisfied in the depth that they can go if there were Europeans in the conversation? Or Latins? Or Indians? You understand? No, they wouldn't understand what you're meaning. You know? You know what I'm saying? Because Americans are really black or white. It's 100% or zero. The Europeans, though, like adjust some things like this. Okay, well, practical, this and that. It wasn't going so well, the marriage, with this and that. But, you know, still, it's not the right way to go about it, and like this, right? You know, South Americans will be looking at the emotional things, what's happening there, why did it, must have been so much, she was so unsatisfied at home, but he was able to, like this, you know what I'm saying? They're going to look at completely different things. All mundane, but different. So my point is that when devotees are discussing what Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines as prajalpa, though we would think is Krishna conscious, we're discussing devotees. But we're going to discuss according to our conditioning. It's nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. The point is he's not someone else's wife, so therefore, now, he as the spirit soul servant of Krishna, how is he going to please Krishna in this situation? You know what I'm saying? You know, because what does Dharma say? So Krishna in the Shastra said this isn't done. Why not? Because now he's run off with this girl. Okay? Now, why did he run off with the girl? Right? It just happened. She just happened to be there, perfectly situated, nicely in her life, and he just walked by, grabbed her, and you know, hopped on the motorcycle and rode off into the sunset. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So. If that was, that's a rakshasa, okay. That is how the rakshasa ones work out. But that means then she had to be part of it. Right? So that means then, what did she do to make it obvious that she's available? Right? In other words, there's some reason she's not feeling sheltered or satisfied in her own situation, and this other person looks like more potential. Right? Of course, until there's possession, you can't really tell, but, you know, that's the illusion of the Western culture. So they'll see some potential there. And he's dissatisfied, so he sees some potential. Yeah? And we're not talking here Hannon or sisters, right? Okay? So, that potential is there, so she had to make herself available. Right? So then, by that process of her making herself aware to him that she's available, how was that done? By being nice, by having a problem, by, you know, just by flirting, by, you know, there's some method, right? Yes, no?
Yes.
Okay, you're looking very bewildered. This is a new discussion. I was like, what is this? So what is he talking about? And I was just like, okay. Okay. So now, once they've run up, now they're the couple. Now let us say it was by having a problem. So she went to him with a problem and through that, okay? Now, will she, as the new partner, allow him to talk to any other lady that has a problem?
No.
So already his sphere of activity is reduced. Now, what happens if he was the temple president? So all he does is deal with problems. So now because she used the problem as a medium to catch him, that means now, let's say, now he's gone from there and he has to go to, let's say, Uruguay or someplace like that. And then he can become the temple president again, right? Maybe even Paraguay, right? No one's heard of Paraguay, right? Like that. We have a devout boy here from Uruguay, like that. But Paraguay, we've never... I don't know. Are there devotees there?
Yeah, not very well.
Okay. But yeah, so he could go there and be the temple president, right? No problem. No one ever know where it happened to him, right? So anybody who has problem in the temple, she won't let him talk to. Does that make sense? You know, and if he was able to catch her, then the method is that he'll won't trust her. You know? If she talks to anybody, he won't trust. So what is the quality of the relationship? So how well will they be able to connect that to Krishna? Right? Does that make sense? Plus, now being a remarried woman, she has to already join whatever he has. Right? Now what happens if he has kids? Right? He already has his family circle. Now can she walk in and, like the first married girl... You know, it means you have a man and a woman. They may have their environment, but it's light compared to being married. Now they're married. Now they'll develop family, friends, the children, the relatives, all that, right? And she's the center there. It works. Now he already has a family. She's joining that. Kids are already there. So can she just walk in and make herself the center? No, it's not allowed according to Shastra. She just has to join what's already there. That's the difference between a first married woman and a remarried woman. The remarried woman joins what's already there. You know, unless she's remarrying, he's remarrying, they both have nothing, then they can start from scratch. You know what I'm saying? But if there's already a scene there, especially children and all that, friends, all that, she can't come in and make herself a start. So now, she still has that need for that. How is she going to do that? Because to be to take the mood of religious remarried women, she has to just be completely just assistant to whatever's going on. And when she and the husband are private, that's when she can pull more trips. But publicly, that means with the family, she can't do any of that. Does that make sense? You know? The father and the kids already have ways to interact, what they eat, how they joke, you know, what they do on Saturday night, like that. She can't go if she doesn't like that. It doesn't matter. That's the way it is. She doesn't like how the bedroom's set up. That's her right. But the rest of that, whatever part of the house the whole family uses, she has no right over. Right? She can slowly, by emotions, change it. But she can't just come in and I'm the mother here. No, you're the wife of their father. Does this make sense? So, how is she going to fulfill all those desires? If she has them. If she can just convert, great. But if she can't? Yeah. So now, how is this going to be useful for a Krishna conscious marriage as we've been discussing it? Even just philosophically. It's not going to work. There's no trust. Like that. There may be sensual attraction or emotional attraction, but how will it last? Right? Plus, they won't be able to apply all these things, and they won't be able to fulfill their desires. Right? So now, his family is not going to work right. His children, because, you know, they've gotten used to their mother, and they've been around a while. But now he's brought a new lady in the house, so he's got a whole new relationship. So now he's right back to Utsamayi. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, oh my God. You know? Like that. You know, it's like they're in their own house, and then the kids look and say, hey, get a room. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, you understand? So it's not good. So that's the problems with why someone doesn't run off with someone else's wife. You know? Plus then there's the problems if where she's run off and she has her own children. They don't like it. Suddenly the wife's disappeared. Her previous husband who things are going along now, how does he start? He has to start all over again. These are the problems that... The problem is it's obstacle to Krishna conscious development. It's nothing to do with morality and ethics. Because morality and ethics are just as illusory as you were married in the first place. Right? The two dead bodies are married. Great. Aribal. You know? Do you, this sack of, you know, mucus bile and air, you know, accept to, you know, through, you know, more mucus and more bile, or less mucus and less bile, you know, to accept this bag of mucus and bile and air, you know, until, you know, how you say, the elements dissolve, therefore you're not connected anymore. Right? And then you're supposed to say, but then you say, I do. So is that, then you should say, body do. I am Krishna conscious, body will do all that. Yes. You understand? So it's just more illusion on the illusion. It's in other words, how to make pious illusion. Because the point is the spiritual world means ultimate piety. The piety is connected to Krishna. So if you can't relate to piety to Krishna, at least you can relate to piety, which just means nice illusion. Right? There, it's real relationship, so it's substance. Piety in the spiritual world is real. Piety here is just nice illusion. You understand? So therefore, everyone's sitting around and all that, so therefore your famous point of, you know, the adulteress and the stones. You know, so the suggestion by the acharya was, okay, whoever hasn't done anything wrong, go ahead, throw the stone. You know, so they all drop their stones and walk away. Because the point is it's not, that's not the point. The point is all the rules here have a purpose for the higher element of advancing in spiritual life. But at least if you're not going to advance in spiritual life, you can follow the culture that's favorable to spiritual life. Does that make sense? So that's the real point. So we see it's different. It's different from three. What happened to page 18?
Oh, you
have. Oh, I had. Oh, here we are. I was just thinking, it goes 17 to 19. I said, we were just reading it, and it's not here, because I got Anartha Nivriti there. Okay, here we go. Does this make sense? So there is a difference when Prabhupada says it, that the difference between the spiritual and emotional materials, like gold, iron, commonality being metal, but the quality of it is so much different, the value of the everything. So we mean that. So here, it shouldn't be taking, okay, then rebukes and remorseful, or, you know, these different qualities that are mentioned, that we take them from the material platform. Right? We take them by the spiritual definition. What does Gita mean by remorseful or rebukes? Right? You had a question?
Yeah. When Deva Bhuti laments that she could have taken up the association of Adam to realize herself, there's a lamentation of Deva Bhuti. She, on that point, was very
means there is that, but what's the basis? She could have taken more advantage of the association, but she was just, you know, more satisfied in the day-to-day activities of husband and wife. But what he knew, she could have taken advantage more. And so now that he's going to go, it's time to go, then how is she going to get this? Because he had to know. Because there's always the ideas, what do you call it? The famous manana, right? Does that work? Manana, wrong language.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Well, I think that's the Mexican Spanish. Manana. Dude, it's not manana. You know, so it's like you can always do it tomorrow, because today you got all this, but tomorrow will be. But then tomorrow it's there, and then again, so it always goes. So that's the difficulty. So, but then when Kapila Muni says he'll take care, then, you know, he'll train his, you know, instruct his mother. Then Kardharma can go in the forest. Because that was his point, is when the son is there able to do, when it, you know, that means his duties are finished. The point is the wife is protected. So now when the son will protect, then he can go. Like that. Because that was his point before he got married to Lord Vishnu. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, because the point is human life is to perfect, one's Krishna consciousness. So she could have done that, so she's lamenting the lack of having taken advantage of there. But it doesn't mean that she's, if it comes along, she won't immediately take it. Oh, I can't take advantage, I'm so fallen. No, here it is. No, it's just immediately she takes it. So you can see it's from knowledge that she's lamenting, not from ignorance. It's not an emotional response to ignorance. It's intellectually understanding the situation and then feeling that one could have done better, you know. Does that make sense? So five, niyama kshama. Although one practices regularly, full justice is still not done to the process. The next stage of unsteady devotional service is niyama kshama. The devotee vows to increase his devotional activities. He resolves to chant 64 rounds daily, offer 100 prostrated obeisances to the deities and the Vaishnavas, serve the senior devotees, avoid talking about mundane topics, shun the company of materialistic minded people, and so on. Right? And this is just, he's just taking it, you know, like that. We're thinking, wow. Okay. I can try that on Janmashtami. Like that. You can see before us why they didn't need to do exercise, right? 100 prostrated obeisances to the devotees. And that's just following in the footsteps. Raghunath Das used to do 2,000. Like that.
No need that.
Yeah, no need yoga, no need just... Yeah, it's like... Daily he makes these vows, but at the last moment he is unable to honor them. The difference between Vishayasagara and Niyamakshama is that in the former, the devotee is helpless to give up material sense pleasures. In the later, he's unable to increase and improve his devotional activities. You understand? So now he's more situated, but still it's not steady, because the point is steady. Now he's situated nicely in Krishna conscious practice, but he's not able to increase the practice. While the other one, he couldn't take it from the lower to the higher. You know, it means just to be situated. Does that make sense? So it's fine. So all these things, you see, they have something common with the last, but if there's some difference that moves it forward, that progresses it. Six, taranga rangini, attachment to wealth, adoration, distinction, and so on. Now let us discuss taranga rangini, the last stage of anishtha, devotional service. In describing the nature of bhakti, it is said that everyone is attracted towards the reservoir of bhakti, the devotee. The devotee himself becomes a treasure house of good qualities and mercy. These characteristics attract people who in turn crown the devotee with wealth, adoration, distinction, and position. Although these accolades come to him as byproducts of bhakti, they nevertheless may stunt the spontaneous growth of the creeper of devotion if he uses them for his self-aggrandizement. Taranga means waves and rangini means play. Therefore, in the vast unlimited ocean of bhakti, these byproducts are waves that create tempests in devotional life. The devotee aspiring to pure devotion sees these waves to be harmless, only gleefully playing and cresting. Right. So, in other words, he's situated now nicely in the devotion, the ocean of devotion. But because of this, and the qualities are there, the service is there, so devotees are appreciating. From that appreciation, then respect, facility, all these things are coming. Right. Then from that, he becomes distracted in those aspects, using them for himself, and that not necessarily seeing that they're just further elements to use in Krishna's service. They're still part of the ocean. It's not that there's something different. Does this make sense? So, saying here is that the devotee aspiring for pure devotion, then they're just different things that come up and go away. There's nothing you become attached to. The wave comes up, it goes down. It's just the playing of the ocean of devotion. Right? All the facility, different things come up and all that. It comes up and it goes away. You know? Does that make sense?
It's a bit like being attached to the mode of goodness, or
yeah, or it's more the facilities that are generated, that you could say, from the, you know, in other words, yeah, the pious elements, just their manifestation. Okay, is this clear what this is? So it's different from the Vishasagara where he's attached to the material things. This is that. These aren't from his previous attachments. This is coming from spiritual performance of duties. But he gets distracted, right? He uses them for himself. So it's still material, but it's not coming from what someone else is coming from. Yes?
Is there an overlap to the Nista level on this?
Yes, that's what we were, when I was saying there'll be some subtleties. We'll get into that after. Like that. Because once we finish this, then I'll mention some other part. Yes?
This the passage would be, this would come, and then the devotee gets attached, they get distracted.
They can get distracted, they can drop, but the point is, but where are they dropping from? Right? You know, so therefore you have the thing, better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. Right? The guy who never had any affection is criticizing the guy who had and lost it. But they don't know, they're not equal. You know what I'm saying? So, now, here's just for fun. It's one of my more fun topics, but it's getting jaded, but you know, just for fun anyway. The position that we've seen in the past that senior Vaishnavas, gurus, sannyasis have fallen from, much of the time it's from this platform. So when we equate them that they're just like the new bhakti, you don't understand what's going on. You know what I'm saying? We ourselves, you know, we get, let us say, you know, you got a cashmere sweater. Real nice cashmere sweater. You know, you might feel a little, yeah, cool. And when you put it on and go into the temple, you know, you feel, yeah, you're looking good. No? Okay. What if you were given 96 of them? What I say? But why you're given one, you've done something and somebody likes, so they gave you one. What did you have to do that devotees would give you 96 sweaters? Yeah, so it's big service. You've really pleased the Vaishnavas and all that. Now, if from that you get distracted and think you're special because you got 96 sweaters, that's a problem. But it's not the same problem as anyone else. And devotional service is not lost unless it's a mad elephant offense. Now, thinking that they're an ordinary devotee, that borderlines on a mad elephant offense. But being attached to 96 sweaters and getting distracted because you think you're cool, that's just, that service will stop there. But when it's taken up again, you'll be right back where you were. And when your mad elephant offense, you know, the effect of that is over, you know, like that, then if you're fortunate, soon, you know, you may be starting from zero. Or after a million lifetimes, and then you get it back together, then you're starting from zero. But in any case, they're starting at what platform they were at. Does this make sense?
There can be some mixtures, for example, that, oh, he's in this position in society, I have to serve them. It's not actually coming from the devotional.
But that's your own weakness, so why you would do it if you don't have to. No one says you have to give them a sweater, so why would you give a sweater for everyone else? And you're doing it for your own social prestige. So therefore, why not look at your fault that you gave the sweater when actually you didn't have any appreciation of them at all, but everybody else does, and you don't want to be left out, so you want to look like you're as enthusiastic and appreciative of everyone else, so they'll all think that you're part of the gang, so therefore you went and bought a sweater and gave it to them. That's your own nonsense. Now, don't try to put that nonsense on him. Well, actually, you didn't deserve it because out of the 96, you know, actually only, you know, 7 were really deep appreciation. Everyone else had thought. But why is it only he got the sweaters? You know what I'm saying? You ever heard any other guru got 96 cashmere sweaters? I haven't heard of it. And I was with a guy who liked cashmere sweaters. You know, he didn't have 96. In fact, he had to buy him himself. You know? You know, so it's like, I might have gotten one or two, but not 96. Maybe it was 76, but it's up there. You know what I'm saying? So don't use that, because then it's like, the point is there's a difference in where they are. So this idea that they're, you know, this happens, or you're advanced and your guru falls, so therefore now you're back to zero like the new bhakta. All these things are not real. Devotional service isn't a mental game like we like to play. It's real. You know what I'm saying? So advancement is there, but there are difficulties, and when they happen, it's pointing them out. Then you can see. Right? Yes.
So if somebody, because this touches the controversial point that offering respect to senior devotees may be detrimental for them.
Yeah, but it's not your business that you're the senior man, that you're the one deciding it'll be detrimental for them. Otherwise, you're putting yourself in the senior position. And I don't know anyone nowadays who can, I know one or two that could talk, but I basically don't know anybody in the society today that could talk about those gurus, that they're on that devotional level and have done what they have done. You know what I'm saying? Jagadagamaraj wants to talk like that? Go ahead. I don't see him talking like that. Anybody else who does talk like that, I guarantee they've never done nearly anywhere the amount of sacrifice and results that they have gotten. So Prabhupada's point was, first do what they do, then you can talk. The guy's not doing well as a temple president, and you're doing great as a temple president, then you can point out what's wrong. But if you're just one of the devotees and you're pointing out how he's not doing a great job as a temple president, you don't have the right. That was Prabhupada's point. You don't have the right. That's the point. It's sinful that the modern society thinks they have the right. They've empowered themselves. But it's not being empowered with spiritual potency. It's pure, unalloyed maya. And that's why, you know, they would have two or three initiations a year, hundreds of devotees each time. Temples expanding, books expanding. Where is that now? It's only happening in places where they respect authority and don't talk like this. And anywhere they talk like this, that zone is not happening. It's that direct. I'm not just saying, you know, this. I'm talking about this is devotion. This is the process. You don't accept authority, it won't work. And so then if that's there, then we should also consider, well, you might overeat by having nice prasad, so we should cook bad prasad. But I won't make that suggestion because, generally speaking, no one knows how to cook. Like that. So, you know what I'm saying? What's your position? That's parental rasa. Who are you? And who are these other people? You know what I'm saying? They don't know the process, know how it works. What are the things? The point is how to get through the Duranga Taranga. It's not by therefore not reciprocating. Then how does the neophyte devotee advance if he doesn't surrender? If he doesn't express it? The point is can they deal with them? So it's not that the junior people don't perform their duties. It's how are you going to associate with, give association to this advanced devotee so he doesn't become bewildered. But that can't be done because they don't have the spiritual potency. And what do? You have control over the junior so you can stop them doing it. But I guarantee you, whoever's saying this has authority issues in their own personal life. And they don't accept authority. And the only way they'll trust authority is that they are the authority themselves. Very strongly said, but that's my experience. If you can point it out that it's wrong, great. I would love to see it's not that. I would like to see that it's actually spiritual, these points that are being made. I don't find them being spiritual. That's another thing. I'm just talking about those who are, you know, bona fide. We're not talking. So they don't even count in anybody's book as spiritual. Right? No sampradaya anywhere. Even bogus ones will accept them. You know, it's like we were discussing yesterday, the antavaisayin. Even amongst outcasts, they would be outcasts.
So they make another noise.
That's another thing. An empty pot makes lots of noise. That's the point.
In the UK, they call them ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yes. Yes. That's the. So that means that they're like a Bogart. So that when you say that, then they turn into something ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I think it's derived from ridiculous.
Yes.
What about when you have real, genuine affection for all devotees?
Great. Good.
But then, for the sake of improving situation, still want to point out things that sometimes you make.
But are you in a position to point it out? Are you the one that by saying it will have the effect? One, do you have the potency that it will have the effect? Two, are you position that they need to listen to you? Do you have a relationship, like you're a friend or something? Or are you in a position of authority where they are your dependent? If they're not your dependent, you don't have the authority. Or you have to be a friend. You know what I'm saying? Or it's a general thing, you're in a class and you're giving a point, and so it applies. So then if they take it, great. But if they don't take it, hey, it's not your business. But just you feel you have the right to go up and say something because you're a member of ISKCON and, you know, they're a public figure. It says these are all mundane politics. It's not devotional. It's presented as devotional, but it's technically it's politics. It's niti. You have a thing you want to do, so therefore you want to break down authority. So therefore, if no one's the authority, then no one gets anywhere. It's like Mauritian frogs. Nothing goes wrong in immersion. It means if you have a. I told you this story, immersion frogs.
There is no discussion. Here again, we told.
So long. Okay. Excuse us. So. No. some French, you know, authority was putting out a tender for frogs, right? Like that. So different companies around the world were then sending in their quotations on how much they could provide frogs for. So then the French authorities looked at the papers and found that, you know, all of them were basically competitive. Wasn't much difference, a little here, a little there. But one group, the Mauritians, they were giving a quote that was significantly lower than anybody else. So then they called in the Mauritians and said, how is it you can give such a low quote? Everybody else is competitive here. Yours is so much lower. He says, that's because we have Mauritian frogs. He says, they don't have Mauritian frogs. So he says, yeah, so? Frogs are frogs. No, no, these are Mauritian frogs. See, they have to have a box with a lid. Right? And the lid's thicker and more, you know, it costs more. The whole box is quite expensive. But we have Mauritian frogs. We don't need a lid on the box. Right? And then they say, what do you mean you don't lid on the box? And they'll hop out. Says, no, they're Mauritian frogs. Like that. All the frogs in the box, but if one frog tries to hop out, the others will grab him and pull him back in. So like that, economically, socially, politically, you can't advance. That's the point. Yeah. No problem? Okay. Yes.
Also, like, the part of the process should be understood to allow this error to be made, because one is supposed to learn on...
Yes, but as long as one does learn, and it can be pointed out, because part of the process is also that it's pointed out. So we're just saying it's the philosophical point. Then you take it and use it. The individual applies it.
One can do it like
because the point is it doesn't change the process. The one thing here is that by saying junior devotees shouldn't respect and worship and facilitate senior men because... then the senior men may fall down and then that'll create a problem for them, that you're getting in the way of the process. It's part of the process of dadati pratigrinati guhya makiti bichati bunte bojayate. These are part of the process. So you're not supposed to give gifts. There's no confidentiality. And the prasad stinks. So, hey. Now, according to Rupa Goswami, we will see in the Upadeshamrita studies, you don't have Vaishnava association. There's no way to express love. You can't be confidential because, you know, within a few minutes it'll be out on Facebook or something. You know, some forum somewhere. You know, you can't give anything because then, you know, they might fall down. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, prasad is, you know, it's buffet. You know, it means it's you in the bucket. I love this bucket. You know, because it's just you go up, slop something on the plate, go sit down, and like that. It's not between devotees. So, you understand? So this is what modern culture does to the devotional process. And therefore, where is the dynamic facility for expansion? That makes sense. So these are direct things. People have issues about them, but that's why these things are there. They're issues. Issues aren't spiritual. Issues are material. Does that make sense? Like that. It's called a misgiving. It's stronger than a doubt, because the doubt, if I intellectually explain it, it goes away. But if having intellectually explained it, it won't go away, that's called a misgiving, because one's attached to one's doubt. You know what I'm saying? You've had bad experience with authorities, therefore there shouldn't be authority. Right? If you make bureaucracy, no one can come up prominent, so therefore you won't have any problems. All these things. It's just, you know, we're people, we're individuals, we're not a machine. So they want to turn us into machines. How do you say? Another brick in the wall. Right? So we're trying to avoid that. That makes sense. So that's why you have to know the philosophy, because guaranteed most won't know that what they're doing is not philosophically correct or culturally correct. No, there's a difference. So the point is how to work that out. Prabhupada used to do it. He didn't say, stop doing all these things. He'd give association. Someone had a problem, a senior man, he'd invite them to travel with him for a while. And then when they were solid again, then they would go back to their service. But now you can't do that service again because, you know, what if the person who rarely comes to the temple only once on Janmashtami comes and sees you there and feels bad like that? All this kind of nonsense. You know, it's all mundane considerations.
It's also imposing material vision on spiritual, like on relations.
Yes, that's it. It's because the point is if you don't know what a relationship is, you don't know that you're imposing it, because you have to know what a relationship is in the first place to actually know what you're dealing with. So what they're talking about here, but no, but then it's just a matter of economics or, you know, politics. Well, if the devotees didn't give money to the gurus, then there'd be so much more for the temples. No, they won't. The point is that's actually, they want to go and if they can give to their guru, they'll go out in that same enthusiasm, they'll give to the temple. The temple allows them to collect and give to their guru. They'll collect more for the temple. But if you can't collect for your guru and he's so superior, then the temple president is definitely lower than that. So he wants me to go out and collect. Why should I do it? No one even understands what's happening. You know? And so then you create, you know, all kinds of mechanistic features to so-called solve these problems, which they never do. Because if they had, you would expect in the last, you know, since the mid-90s, that, you know, it would have corrected itself. But it doesn't. Right? So individuals, they themselves do something, then you see something happen. An individual gets inspired, does something, gets some others with him, does something, then you see there's something very special going on. But it's happening because that individual does it. Does that make sense?
Well, and we've seen that whenever this temple president has the vision of promoting and linking to this spiritual muscle, we're very advanced. The zone is...
It goes. The whole thing goes because the devotees are then inspired. Because what is the temple president for? He's to manage the spiritual life, or to manage the facilities for the spiritual life of the devotees. That's technically what it is. But if the temple president becomes an end in his own, you know, right, what's the meaning? That's what it's discussed. Well, he has this, that. No, but the purpose is only for the spiritual. And this whole thing is that you make rules to cut so this doesn't have that. No, it's a matter of, it's philosophy. Because if rules worked, that they would control everything, then, you know, America wouldn't have had to have amendments to the Constitution. You know, before it was just they had so many points and that was it. Now you have the point and its sub-point and its other points. Some of the points are up to like, I saw one the other day, I was looking at something in, I think, education. It's up to 507. You know, of a sub-point of a point, right? You know, there's one of the main articles, then it's sub-point, then it had like 500, you know, sub-sub-points. So you're talking about thousands of amendments. And still, they have to make more, because rules aren't what keep things in line. People stay in line because of relationships, because of affection, right? You know, so it says in the marriage ceremony, the husband says to the wife when he comes to his house for the first time. Like, we're talking Vedic here. So then one of the points he says, oh, excuse me, no. That's at the end of the wedding. No, it's after the Saptapati. Then he's giving blessings. So one of them says, be the Lord of my father, be the Lord of my mother, be the Lord of my brothers, be the Lord of my sisters. Right, so he's giving blessings, she'd be the Lord of the whole house. But that's not managerial, meaning that she's the authority. It means it's through affection she will control everybody. You know what I'm saying? Someone who has great affection for you and deals so affectionately, they control you. So may that affection be so great that you control everybody. Does that make sense? That's how it stays in line. Prabhupada didn't keep people in line by any rules. It's basic rules. There's no different than before. But it's through that affection, through knowledge. Does this make sense? That's the point. Then you'll find that temple, that yatra will be dynamic. Yes.
If there is an affection there, is it just out of duty?
Yeah, but then you can be pious, and out of duty you can perform your thing. That's the point, is the Vedic culture, Krishna consciousness in the Vedic culture is so perfect that you can still advance despite the situation. You know what I'm saying? Even though we said all these different things, you can still advance just as readily as before, because you just have to follow the process. Even if no one else follows the process, if you follow it, it still works. So this idea is, oh, things have changed, you can't do those things anymore. No, all you have to do is follow it. You follow it, it works. You don't follow it, it doesn't work. That's all. It works easier. I mean, so unless you... because if you open your mouth at these situations, then if you appreciate having your own foot in your mouth or having someone else's foot in your mouth, then go ahead. But unless by opening your mouth it will get some benefit, you know what I'm saying? Because that we're well-meaning doesn't mean anything. That's good. But the point is unless by speaking it will have an effect, why speak? Does that make sense?
But is it not the way we spoke that has an effect? How do you get the effect?
Well, it's the way you spoke, but what is the way you spoke defined by? You spoke something, okay? Why would you speak what you spoke? It was a standard, okay. Now that standard is there, but you are speaking. It's a process going on right now. You understand? Does that have any effect by the environment?
Yeah, I think it's more uncomfortable.
No. Means let's say it's Darshanartik and we're standing there in front of the deities. The deities have just opened and you happen to just be standing next to the devotee. You've been waiting for 3 months to tell him something. So right then, before obeisances, you're going to tell him what you want to say, right? No. You had to think about it. Okay? So that's the wrong time. So time has something to do with it. So could it be that even though what you spoke may be beneficial, maybe the time was wrong, the situation was wrong, the mood was wrong. So just that, well, I said that and they didn't appreciate it. Well, I was just trying to help. Okay, that's an excuse to get yourself out of any responsibility. But if you really want to help, you also have to see everything that goes along with it. Just like this. Let's say the wife is sitting at home and she, you know, sees that she would like to, you know, do something nice that'll cost some money, right? And she's thinking, okay, when the husband comes home, I'm going to ask him. And then the door, you know, slams open and he comes in and he's yelling and screaming and what's wrong? He says, oh, today they did this and, you know, they screwed us on the money and all this and that and all these guys and money and whatever they want money. And then you're going to say, oh, speaking about money, I wanted to ask you, if we could buy a new blender, you know, it'd be so nice. And then in the morning we can make nice things and we can do for the deep, right? That would be the right time, right? Yes? No. So... And then if afterwards you say, well, you know, I had this, I've got bigger problems and all that, and says, well, I was just trying to help, you know, I was just thinking about the family, would it work? No, but in the modern polity, that's what everybody's trying to do, make themselves the victim, and it's always about them, and I was only trying to help, and I wasn't the wrong one. And so the point is it's you also have to know when to say something. Spoken twice, but that means it was still the wrong situation.
Yeah, maybe it was, but maybe that doesn't think it's important.
But the point is yeah, you do, and so who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so then why? What's your business saying? You know what I'm saying? So then open an office, you know, put up a little thing in the temple room, right there, you know, over on the side there, put up a little board and add the table, you know, and you put, you know, the office of, you know, complaints about anybody in the movement who does this. You know what I'm saying? And then, but why just that person you're telling? You know, what about anybody who's doing it? There's thousands who are doing it. So why you only care about them?
No, it's actually
Okay, so then about this mundane situation, whatever you just put whatever you want on the board. You understand? So the point is, are you in a position to say? So if you're not, then you bring it to the authority and you've done your job. And if they don't, you go on with your life. If it bothers you, that's you know, why get bothered? You know? Stand somewhere else or talk to someone else or... You know what I'm saying? It's a, if the opportunity is there and it can have effect, great. You know, but the point is it won't have effect until all the elements are correct. That's just how relationships work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the verb means it defines not only the action, which is the speaking, but it also defines the mood, the place, and the time. So all those four have to be correct. That's the action. Then there's your position and relation to the one you're talking to. So there's six factors there. So if all those are correct, then it'll work. And so if it doesn't, means something's not correct. So then you analyze what's wrong and then try to fix it.
Can we just go through the six moves?
Means you have within action.
Yeah.
Means the skill has to be correct.
Yeah.
Then then the subsections will be the mood, the time, and the place. You know, it's time, place, circumstance in modern speak. Right? Then you have the person, you know, that is correct, the relationship between you who are speaking and to the person who's listening. Right? And so if you don't get the result, that means something's wrong. It didn't work. Otherwise, the result would come. Science, yeah. That's the science. That's what we were discussing before about the success stuff. You know? And then, you know, someone complained the other day about us always discussing about success. So they made it, they felt that I was making them feel like they were losers. So. Okay. So, anartha nivritti. So, just mention this and then we'll. Time to finish. Before we get that. So, in other words, these are the philosophical points and cultural points. We're to take these and apply them in our life, not someone else's. Like you were saying there. Okay, so then that would be a problem. So if I really wanted to serve the advanced Vaishnavas, I wouldn't show him any respect or any kindness because then he might fall down. That's not your practice. Your practice is different. So you apply these in your life. Now, that person hearing him, he should apply them in his life. Right? And if there's a need, someone on his platform should tell him. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's that. Means if you can say yourself, that's nice, but then you have to say it according to etiquette. It's not a matter of, we just had to get the work done. Putting emotions aside, these are just modern forms of newspeak on how to recklessly and irresponsibly get your work done. Like Duryodhana, he's following Niti, but he still has to consider people's feelings. But nowadays, they'd worked around the businessman, because these aren't Brahmin and Kshatriya techniques. These are Vaishya and Shudra techniques. So they've worked out that we'll just say this before, we'll give a caveat beforehand and says, you know, all emotions aside, then, you know, and they come in and just say whatever they want. But are all emotions aside? If they were aside, why are you saying it? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like Mataji saying, it's important to me, so I'm saying it. But she's saying it based on an emotion. And the other person's not taking it because of an emotion.
But it was a standard.
It is a standard, but the point is it's how you say it. You know what I'm saying? It's how you say it. And if you say it wrong, even if it's a standard, you're wrong in saying it. What's been said may have validity, but you get no credit. That's the point. You know, And here we're not discussing a specific standard before, we're discussing the concepts on which we're basing our standards. Right? Does that make sense? So, you had always second initiated devotees cooking, very Krishna conscious, kitchens were as clean as the deity room, but nowadays that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But before it meant something. You wanted to go into the kitchen, you took a bath. You know, no one could talk about what was being cooked. Like that. They played music about Krishna. Like that. So, when I say, you know, and so that kind of food, that was what you were getting. Nowadays, it's definitely anybody but second initiated. Everybody's in there with their shoes on. The place is filthy. You know, it's just you can talk whatever you want, do whatever you want. And then that's, you know, so we're talking about the state of consciousness. I'm not talking about the menu or their technique in cooking or anything like that. Does that make sense? So we're talking about standards here. We're talking about the standards of the consciousness. Does that make sense? We have to be able to discern between the technical application of that, you know, the particular skill or the particular method. Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Chaitanya Gaurapinda ki.